Ice cold beer!
Popcorn, peanuts, Cracker Jack.
I know what the big deal about Cracker Jack is. Did you ever go and buy a pack of Cracker Jack thinking you'd get a prize and find no prize in the box?
Today, I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth.
To the ball game, take me out to the crowd, buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if I ever get back, we'll root for the home team. If they don't win, it's a shame. 1, 2, 3 strikes you out at the old ball game.
All right, welcome back to the Bench Jockeys here on 101.5 UMFM. I'm Michael Ells, joined from a safe distance by my pal Brian Svensson.
Hey, howdy.
And no sign of Chris Suk answering the bullpen phone as of yet, though we'll keep an eye out and maybe I'll signal for a reliever later. Before we get into anything else, I do want to take a quick moment to tip my cap. Brent Oliver, former host, co-host of this show years back, posted today on social media that he's in the hospital with heart trouble, and so just wanted to send him good vibes and tip our cap to him. For folks who've been listening to the show for a long time, he and I have been playing in the Portage and Maine Fantasy Baseball League for almost 2 decades at this point. So wishing him all the best. I guess we'll pivot off of some unfortunate news, some very positive news, and let you just scream Blue Jays into the mic for a second.
Yes, let's go. Playoffs. It's going to happen. And not only that, they're better than the Yankees right now. I'm out of my mind, Mike. I'm out of my mind.
As long as they beat the Yankees, like, everything else I think is golden. Even if they were to like miss the playoffs, but like just keep the Yankees out of the playoffs and have a better record than them for this season, that would be like.
I would also like to point out that
as a win at the beginning of the season.
As of right now, they're 3.5 games back of the Rays for the division lead.
This is true. And
I mean, I don't think they're going to catch them, but still, like, if you told me that this was going to happen at the start of the year, I'd be like, "No, you're nuts."
Also nuts is the fact that the Orioles are 1.5 games behind the Yankees for the wild card.
Also,
can you imagine? Oh my God! Please, Baltimore.
I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. The Yankees are going to get healthy, right? Like, and when they get healthy,
I mean, that's been the thing, right? Like, they've been bitten by the injury bug again and again.
No LeMahieu, no Stanton, no Judge, no Torres. Gary Sanchez has been an absolute shell of himself. So, yeah, don't mistake this for me praising the Yankees. They've gone about things in ways that I don't like. I mean, obviously we want players to get paid, but like, I just buying everybody just has always sat. You know, they finally developed a lot of players and then decided they were going to go out and buy even more players and buy some dislikable players, and so I mean. But they're injured all the time, so whatever. But the Jays have a 91.5% chance to make the playoffs according to Fangraphs rolling playoff odds. 91. The
like
Blue Jays.
Like
playoffs.
They've played 24-19, so they're at 43 games of the 60.
Yeah, they got 16 games left.
Yeah, I mean, barring – you know, knock on whatever wood is close to you. That, I mean, those, that 91 odds is pretty solid, right? Like, they just have to kind of skate by with maybe even a 500 record at this point.
Pretty much, yeah. They could even probably play less than five, just a little bit less than 500 ball and probably be fine. But I don't know. They made the deadline moves, and man, I'm ecstatic. I'm ecstatic right now. It's crazy. I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm just.
Well, I mean, speaking of don't know what to say and crazy, we were talking off air about the article about if you'd asked at the beginning of the season what the best team in New York would be in the AL East.
The Blue Jays.
Playing out of Buffalo for their home games makes them a New York team, amazingly. So, yeah.
Cheers to the Blue Jays.
Cheers to the Blue Jays. Also, to Tampa Bay, who have been phenomenal, right? Playing
of course they have been. I'm not surprised about that.
Oh, I know. I'm not saying it's a surprise, but I'm pleased, right? Like, because that's
– yeah.
Certainly it was kind of thought to be them versus the Yankees for this division at the start of the season. Baltimore back in actual spring training.
Yeah. Baltimore also still only half a game back of Houston for the eighth spot. I'd like to point that one out too. If they're going to knock anybody off, I mean, yes, I hate the Yankees. I think I would much rather them beat out the Astros for that last spot.
Okay, wait. Did you just say you'd rather? So, the few
I would
years
rather
of
the
issues
playoffs,
with the Astros versus
I would rather
lifetime with the Yankees.
Yes. Yes, that's correct.
Wow.
The Yankees have had
is
individual.
Is that just because it's fresher? Like what?
No, I think because the Yankees have had individual cheaters, you know, but like them as a whole team haven't had like a team-wide cheating scheme to defraud the league. I mean, I can hate A-Rod until the cows come home, but like, you know, or Jason Giambi, but like the Astros had a whole team to defraud the league. That's brutal. Plus, like, secretly, I don't mind Aaron Judge. He's like a nice kid.
So you like individual Yankees and just collectively
hate the entire Astros organization. I mean, yeah, I hate the Yankees. They suck. They're awful. They're brutal. There's a lot of guys on that team that I do not like. But like the Astros defrauded the entire league and got away with it. So, you know, organizationally, yeah, I hate the Yankees more. In terms of like current teams, like it's the Astros. I loathe this current iteration of the Houston Astros. So like, whatever.
The wounds are too raw for you.
It's brutal. So right now the Jays are in sixth place. One, two, three, four, sixth place. So that means they'd play the White Sox in the first round.
Well, speaking of the White Sox,
I'm pretty all right with that.
That AL Central.
Three of the teams are in the playoffs right now, that AL Central, and it could be a fourth if Detroit gets its act together.
Yeah, they sit two games out of the wild card. They split a doubleheader today. We're recording this on Thursday with St. Louis. But yeah, wholly bunched up. 1.5 games separating Chicago, Minnesota, and Cleveland.
Wild.
It's a very weird year. And it's weird because each of these teams is kind of doing it in a different way.
Yeah.
Right? Like these are all like anomalous kind of teams in some sense, right? Like Cleveland, despite getting rid of Clevinger, you know, has like an abundance of starting pitching, you know, Shane Bieber.
They're all identical, man. They're all 5'11 right-handers that throw a 94 plus mile an hour fastball and a bowling ball of a slider. They're all identical.
So, like, here's the thing: we've praised different, you know, pitching coaches and pitching staffs in the past for, you know, kind of like unlocking the, you know, way to like build a roster, a rotation. I don't think we've ever mentioned Cleveland in those things. You know, we've talked about like Tampa Bay. We've talked about, you know, specific pitching coaches and who've moved around from team to team and helped kind of like guru specific pitchers. This seems like, I don't know why I haven't thought about Cleveland in this way before, but like they've done it year over year with different pitchers.
Yes. It's wild. I mean, like, the reason why they're able to trade Mike Clevenger, right, is because, you know, they can bring back Tristan McKenzie. They can, they've got Aaron Civale. They've got Carrasco. They've got Bieber, who is probably going to win the Cy Young this year. They've got Zach Plesac. Like, you know, it's just like, it's never ending depth. It's just a never ending depth. You know, it's bananas to me. And they, you know, more than that, they've still got even more guys that can, they'll eventually be able to bring up and call up. Right. Like, it's, you know, they acquired some pitchers in that deal for, pardon me, they acquired some pitchers in that deal for Clevenger too. So, like, I mean, they're just going to do it again.
So just pulling this up on MLB.com for the coaching staff here. So Carl Willis is the pitching coach. And then Ruben Niebla is the assistant pitching coach.
Okay. Like,
I'm trying to think if there's anything in, like, I've ever read, you know, on The Athletic or back in the days of Sports Illustrated or something, talking about Carl Willis as some sort of, like, guru or something, or if they've,
yeah,
or is this like a front office quant thing where they've kind of identified pitchers that can do these kinds of things regardless of who's kind of handing them the ball?
I guess it's gotta be. I don't know, man, but whatever they're doing, they're doing a heck of a job.
Well, if anyone's listening and has read anything kind of online or in print about the Cleveland pitching staff, if anyone's kind of gone into this, add us on At The Bench Jockeys on Twitter so that I can share that article. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Meanwhile, the youth movement in Chicago has
not prepared for this to happen yet. I mean, I figured they were starting to make their moves to being good, but I wasn't prepared for Lou Bob to be this good yet. You know, so many other players, they've just been incredible. Tim Anderson continues to just be amazing, man. The White Sox are fun. The White Sox are a fun team to watch. As fans of the show will know, I don't get to watch the Blue Jays because MLB TV blacks it out, and I don't have cable because that's not something as a millennial that I really have time for. So I don't get to watch the Blue Jays. I get to listen to the Blue Jays, but I don't get to watch them. So I find myself there are three teams that I tend to find myself watching a lot of. I tend to watch a lot of White Sox. I watch a lot of Padres, and I watch a lot of Mariners. And it's just, the White Sox are fun.
This is reminiscent of with if you have the NBA subscription, like the teams that are like everyone's favorite kind of like under the radar teams to watch. It sounds like you've got your own version of that with the
oh yeah,
especially the Padres and the White Sox.
God, I love watching the Padres. They're awesome. And the White Sox are super fun too. Like they, again, like we're talking about a set of players that are just a blast to watch, you know, like Eloy and Lou Bob and Tim Anderson and Moncada and Madrigal, Grant Dow, like, you know, Giolito threw a no hitter today, like, or a no hitter, you know, earlier this season. They've mm-hmm. got my boy Eddie. Like, they're just fun, man. They're fun. The Sox are just fun, and it's going to be a fun series. Like, even though it's, you know, my Jays are going to have to send them home, it's going to be good.
Well, as someone with, you know, another AL Central team invested interest, I'll be fine if your guys send them home then. You mentioned Lou Bob, MLB.com piece talking about the fact that, you know, prohibitive favorite for Rookie of the Year.
I don't see how he can't win it. There's not enough games left for someone to do something special enough for me to not think that Lou Bob will be will win the AL Rookie of the Year. Like, I just can't see it happening.
Right. And so The article, though, posits that, you know, there is a chance of him. So this was Sarah Langs at Slangs on Sports on MLB.com. Possibility with his Rins replacement and his stats that could be AL MVP.
Ooh. Well, see, the thing is, so the thing is that I don't really, I can't, I would normally just go by whoever had the most wins above replacement, but like this year is so funky. And personally, like I've been banging on for a long time about how you can't trust defensive metrics, especially over short periods of time, other than like framing metrics, which I trust greatly. But like, I just can't trust defensive metrics. So I can't trust wins above replacement. So
wow.
I can't trust it this year.
This season is completely up in the air because
I can't. It's not enough time. It's not enough time. I really don't think like I can personally trust WAR above like below like 80 games. I've been thinking about it. I've been doing a lot of reading about it. I've been like, I just can't. So I don't really know who I think should be, you know, I don't really know who I think should be MVP. I just legitimately don't have any idea.
What even is WAR anymore? Is that the question you're now asking yourself?
What is it good for? Nothing. Absolutely nothing this year.
And Edwin Starr are singing the same song right now.
Yeah.
It would be quite something if he was able to nab both MVP and Rookie of the Year.
I mean,
the AL, there's been lots of great players, right? So, I mean, the question is,
if I personally like
successful teams,
if I'm going to toss out defensive metrics and then just kind of go by who is hitting the best and then kind of like eye test it for defense, then it's probably got to be either Rendon or Cruz. Maybe Trout again. Maybe Tim Anderson.
So as it
could have made the case for Teoscar if he had stayed healthy.
You know, if you go on the Statcast here, Cruz does lead regardless of ALNL. Trout's in third right now.
WRC plus, yeah. Has those guys kind of clumped together with Cruz, the clear runaway. So it's like, how much do you dock him for being a DH?
Right, and that's that question about throwing out defense, right?
Right. So yeah, I don't know, but I don't think Lou Bob is quite close enough to the top of that list to really to make an argument for me. Yeah, especially considering that he's not even one of the two best hitters on his team. Like, he's been great, but like the fact that Tim Anderson and Abreu were both higher than him on the WRC plus list leaderboard here.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's tough. And then in the NL, I mean, it's got to be our boy, right? It's got to be Tatis.
Oh yeah, I feel like he's probably the favorite at this point.
God, I love him, man. He's so much fun. That guy's awesome.
You mentioned Padres. It makes absolute sense that that's one of the fun teams to watch because there's some great pitching, and then you've got Tatis, and he's been everything he's been hyped to be.
I've always had this weird thing for Will Myers too. He's like one of my ride or die guys that makes no sense.
Yeah, that does make no sense.
It makes no sense, but you know, I'm just like, I just believe in Will Myers. Now your width and breadth is a little bit greater than mine in terms of baseball zeitgeist stuff, because you obviously have been living longer than me and experiencing baseball at a more sentient, cognitive, salient level than I have been.
I appreciate a nice way of saying I'm old.
Well, I'm, you know, trying to be nicer about it.
I know, I'm saying, I appreciate that. That was funny.
You know, when was the last time there was a baseball player that felt this electric and talked about and beloved by everybody?
It's interesting because a lot of the, like, electric players weren't necessarily beloved by everybody, right? Like they're their Q rating was not as high because they were divisive, right? Like when you think back to someone like Bonds,
right?
There were people who like,
you know, and McGuire
died and by his every at bat, and then
there Sosa. Were who, absolutely, yeah. I get it.
Like,
and Pedro, like I get it.
And even, you know, more contemporary, like someone like Trout is a very fantastic player, but he is not electric.
No, he is the definition of everything is an 8.5.
He's like really good except French vanilla ice cream, right? Like,
yeah,
if you eat it, you're gonna be like, this is good.
The but best no vanilla like, ice French vanilla ice cream
French
ever made.
Vanilla ice cream, holy! Whereas, yeah. Like, you know, you get some wild flavor that you never thought would work, and you taste it, and it's amazing. And you're like,
Tatis's pistachio.
Oh my gosh! And so, you know, maybe someone like Ken Griffey Jr.
Right. That's what I'm like wondering. Like, is he
or like
is
early he... Ichiro?
Yeah, yeah, man. Like, oh my
when
god!
He first
so
came over.
So I don't know if you know, but MLB. The MLB.com put out something this week, a couple days ago even, called the Film Room.
And I don't know to if see this. No.
I don't know. Okay. So I'm breaking some news.
I was too busy preparing
here.
In my film room for the NFL fantasy season. So
MLB put out a film room. It's just I'll see if I can find the actual thing here for it, but it's a video tool called MLB Film Room. You can it's functional on your phone, and it has over 3.5 million clips of Major League Baseball dating all the way back to 1929.
Oh my gosh.
Yep. You can load up, go on right now and just look and like you can search by player. You can add filters for seasons. You can look like pitch by pitch stuff. Like if you just wanted to see every single instance that they have of somebody throwing a screwball, you can do that, and it'll pull up the clips. You can go and watch Willie Mays' 3,000th hit if you want to. It's an incredible tool, and I spent far too much time over the past couple of days just watching Ichiro clips.
I feel like at some point, if we end up with no baseball again, we're gonna have to do like our draft around these clips.
Huge deep dive, right? Just yeah. Insane. But yeah, you can go all the way back to 1929, man. It's wild. It's super cool.
So I guess, if going back to 1929, it doesn't go back to 1900, which I want to mention because, that was the, modern scoring mark set by the Texas Rangers in a 30-3 rout of the Orioles. Atlanta just absolutely annihilated the Marlins earlier this week, 29-9.
Oof.
An historic one. I know that, and it's funny because we talked about Tatis on a recent episode when he, you know, took that 3-0 pitch yard and how, like, upset both managers were about, like, you know,
him running up the score is, like, run, definitely an unwritten rule.
And here we go. Like, should there be a mercy rule at some point? Because, like, you won by 20.
No, run them into the ground.
And this is the thing. You know, I, and this is where, despite my, you know, advancing age, I definitely come down on the younger side of the thing when it comes to, like, baseball should be fun.
Yep.
And a lot of the unwritten rules
not
are
fun.
The no fun rules.
Not fun.
And, like, you know what I like? I like seeing someone just like light it up. And, you know, Adam Duvall driving in 9 runs with 3 homers, including a grand slam in that game. Like, that's fun. Like,
super fun.
Oh, you know, check your bat and take first. Like, boring as heck.
It's really lame, man. Like, the unwritten rules suck. And they're like, I don't know. They take the fun out of the game, and it's all about, like, who can be the angriest. And I don't have time for that garbage, man. It's not – I try to be a chill person as much as I can be, and that's just not – it's not copacetic. the unwritten rules suck because it's like, oh, you beat me, I'm gonna throw at you. Like, I don't know if you listen to the Ringer MLB show, but they talked on there about, you know, what would be fun ways to like weird out the unwritten rules. And like Zach Cram and Michael Bauman had both like separate ideas, where Zach Cram was like, well, they got to throw, like, if you want to throw at someone, then you have to signal to bring in like the water balloon and throw that instead. And then Michael Bauman expanded further and was like, no, you have to bring in the ceremonial melon and try to throw like a honeydew at somebody, which is all kinds of comical. And like, I don't know, man, if you're going to throw a baseball at somebody, I don't have time for that. It's, you can kill somebody, you can hurt them.
Well, this is the thing, like, if it's intentionally, I mean, we've seen obviously when a pitcher just hasn't got his control and he, like, you know, loses it and it hits a guy and is deeply apologetic. But when you're headhunting, or it's some sort of like unwritten rule thing where you're like, oh, you lit me up last time, so I'm going to hit you, that's assault.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I wish, and like, players just kind of, like, normally you would want them to just kind of yell at each other and trash talk each other. But in baseball, you have to throw at somebody first before anyone's allowed to trash talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's backwards. It's so backwards. Like, why don't you just trash talk first? Like, it's so dumb. Throw a pitch, pat, like, not at a guy, like throw a strike or something, or like step off your mound and just jaw at a guy. Like, how hard is that? I just don't get it, man.
No. Something to ponder as we have to wrap things up, just looking at the time here. We'll hand things over to Front Burner. I never did see the bullpen phone light up. We will catch you next week when we're, what, a week away from the end of the season? Of the
playoffs.
Oh, my gosh. At which point, maybe their odds will have improved to like 96%. We'll catch you next week. Stick around and tune in at 1 p.m. for Brian's other show, The Pity Party. Normally a cavalcade of sad songs, but this week is the annual EPL Premier preview show.
Yep. We're reviewing my buddy Zach, who is part of Sawyer and Boys Club.
Who we had on the show.
Yeah, who's come on the show before to talk about the Dodgers. Is coming to, or has come on the show. It's been pre-recorded already. We spent an hour and a half talking about the preview for the Premier League, which actually is going to start Saturday tomorrow.
Right on. Well, you got baseball and you got football all happening this weekend, including North American football. So enjoy your sports and stay safe, and we'll be back here next Friday.
Strike three, you're out.